You're listening to the Co-Creator Network. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Hello and welcome to Enchanted One Radio. I am your host, Sheila Applegate, spiritual seer, healer, and teacher of oneness. You were just listening to Joanne Shenandoah and the Ancient Traveler. To hear more of Joanne's music, visit joanneshenandoah.com. Joanne and I, along with her daughter Leah, have a guided meditation CD available called Enchanted Garden. That's a wonderful supplement to this radio show. And you can find that on Amazon or at either of our websites. I also wanted to announce that the membership portion of my website is now available. And you can go to my website, SheilaApplegate.com, and you can become a member. And this is a new program that I've developed to make it really easy and accessible for you to touch into my teachings and to connect with other people on the spiritual path at your own time, at your own convenience, in a very easy way. There's all kinds of aspects on it. Weekly, I will be answering questions that people, that members bring to me, and I'll have a monthly call that we can all connect together. There's a wisdom board that allows you to connect with other people from around the world. So just an amazing thing. Go over and give that a check in and see if that resonates with you. Today, we have a really special guest, and it's Heidi Puck, and Dr. Heidi Puck. She's an oncologist at the Hematology Oncology Associates of Central New York, and I'm going to give you her full bio in just a minute, but I just want to say that it is such an honor, and I am so excited to have Heidi with us today because of so many things. And if you heard my radio show a few weeks ago called I Love Cancer, you'll know that my philosophy about cancer is that we actually have to love the cells and help them to remember the oneness and to get in harmony with the other cells in our body. This is something that came to me from spirit, and I've worked very closely. I've had, you know, some very close people in my life die of cancer, and I've also been honored to be at the crossing of some people that have been had cancer. I've also been able to be on the other side and work with people who have cured cancer and are living full and vibrant lives on earth. So it's a vibration, a part of our healing that I'm very connected to. I actually also had an experience with the hematology side of the place that Heidi works. So I can actually attribute her her associates, her colleagues, as helping to save my life. So, and then on top of that, Heidi's worked with me for several years now, and I've just watched the process and helped, I hope, to guide the process of her moving into integrative medicine. So let me give you her bio and then introduce you to her, and we can get right into her understanding coming from the perspective of an oncologist and moving into the understanding of integration and the holistic oncology, and then the understanding of love and how that affects cancer. So Heidi S. Puck, MD, FACP, ABAIHM, I don't know what those are, but I know some of you out there do, is a physician partner at Hematology Oncology Associates of Central New York, which is located right here in Syracuse. She received her medical degree from Mount Sinai School of Medicine in 1989, and then she did her internal medicine internship and residency with Cornell University, affiliated with the New York Hospital Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And she also started her practicing with Hematology Oncology of Central New York in 1995. She became interested in integrative medicine after a personal spiritual transformation and took a course in integrative holistic medicine through the Scripps Center for Integrative Medicine in California. In December of 2010, she became a board-certified diplomat of the American Board of Integrative Holistic Medicine. She is trying to incorporate, or she is incorporating, the knowledge she has gained through this course and certification into her current practice with the Hematology Oncology of Central New York. And she's begun doing consultations with patients at her practice. Isn't that exciting? She realizes that the process is in evolution and that she's at the beginning of the path of integrated holistic oncology. She's a member of the Society of Integrative Oncology and also an American Board of Holistic Medicine. She's an active participant in the Integrative Medicine Referral Group through the Krauss Hospital Institute of Integrative Medicine. She's trained in Level 2 Reiki, as well as basic pranic healing, and she's currently studying to become a master of, you know, Heidi, I'm going to have you tell them this one, because I never remember the name of that, how we say it. So welcome, Heidi, and why don't you give us your own personal hello and explanation of how you got here in this space in your career.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you for having me on your show. And my name, just so you know, is pronounced Poot.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry.
Messes everybody up because it's only three letters, but it's very difficult. But yes, Heidi Poot. And I am currently studying to do, it's called Sekhem Healing. It's actually related to Reiki, but a little bit different, uses a lot of Egyptian symbols of healing and so forth. So that's the program I'm training in right now.
Okay, great. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey that helped you reach this point of integrating both medicines?
Well, my whole training and upbringing within the allopathic world of medicine has been very scientific, very, I guess, focused on diagnosis and symptoms of patients. And as I went through training, you know, if it wasn't proven scientifically, you can't believe in it, and it's not going to be helpful. If it's not proven in a clinical trial, it's not something that we can advocate for. So a lot of this changed a few years ago when I had a personal life crisis, and I tried to get help by conventional means, and disappointingly, that really failed me, and I also found no comfort in it. And I think it was divine intervention when a close friend of mine had recommended that I seek some spiritual counseling and healing. And the very skeptical mind in me said that is not the path to take, but I think I was at a point where I had to go that route because I knew the scientific route was not helping me. So that's when I started to meet with a spiritual healer, and it opened me up to looking deep within myself, really realizing my core essence and my core being, getting into meditation and learning all about the wonderful things in spirituality in terms of ancient forms of healing, you know, recognizing what the chakras are and how they can become imbalanced. And it just opened up a world of a network, a spiritual network for me that keeps growing every day. And I've learned so much that I felt it was my my passion and my mission in life to bring all of this into my practice, because certainly our conventional system of medicine and oncology and hematology is far from perfect. So I think that if we achieve a balance between the conventional and these integrative ancient approaches, I think we can start a lot more healing and curing.
Wonderful. And how did that, how were you able to integrate that into your, you know, you went through this personal exploration and understanding, and then you show back up in the field that you're already so immersed in. And how has that been for you to be kind of having one foot in both worlds for a little while? And do you feel them blending now?
I think in the beginning it was something very different and something a bit intimidating, but I think, you know, when I went to this review course by Scripps in California and then took the course and studied, I mean, it's amazing because I met so many like-minded people. There were these doctors there and other practitioners who came very much from a very scientific background and just were completely, I guess, spiritually enlightened that there is something more to this. There's something beyond, and that we are just at the cusp of that change. And it just escalated, and actually it became very easy. It became so, it had to be this way, that's where we're all going. That's where the energy is going. And so now that I'm certified, board certified in integrative holistic medicine, I have access to, you know, certain circles of people and conferences that really enable me to grow more in this field with like-minded people. And it's amazing how rapidly it has happened. So initially I would say it was a bit intimidating, but now it just feels so comfortable and so right. And there's such a huge need for this. I mean, you just see that the people are ready for this. I don't know if the allopathic world is ready for it, but people are ready for it.
And therefore everyone will become ready for it.
That's right.
And you've been able to integrate this right into your practice at Hematology Oncology of Central New York, correct?
Yes, I'm starting to see, you know, my own patients and my patients from my partners within the practice doing consultations on integrative medicine to see how we can incorporate those modalities into conventional care. So it's not a way of choosing an alternative treatment program, but it's really to complement and to support a person as they're going through an experience and treatment of cancer or a blood disorder. And I would say the hardest part is just the logistics of trying to get this set up in a structure that's so created and so fixed on what we've been doing for so many years, and that has to shift with it. So, for example, the insurance reimbursement and the whole way we see patients, the time constraints, and you know, the networking with physicians within the community. So, but I think with time and with certainly doing an outside consultation, which I'm trying to work on now, to look at the practice and see how we can incorporate this better, I think it will flow and it will happen. But it's very encouraging because the consults I'm doing now, I can tell you the feedback that I've gotten from patients is that, like, where have you been? Syracuse needs this. The world needs this.
That's wonderful. And I think that's something that is confusing to people, that sometimes they think that they're being asked to choose between one or the other, you know, either going through conventional treatment or trying alternative. And I think it's just so important that it's not necessarily a choosing, that they can be integrated together.
That's correct. I like to get away from the term alternative, because the term integrative is so much more encompassing of the real holistic nature that treatment has to take. So we don't push away the conventional, because we have real hard data that the conventional things work. Chemotherapy works. But we also know that there may be non-drug options in terms of supportive care to help minimize treatment side effects and help support a person's immune system as they're going through this, and also to make some life changes so that the cancer doesn't have an environment that is conducive to reoccurring or for a new cancer to develop. So it encompasses a lot, and it encompasses, you know, ancient healing modalities and other healing modalities that really do complement each other. And I would like to get away from that term alternative.
I think integrative is such a more powerful word, which also takes us to, well, actually, I want to step back because you triggered a thought there. You know, you said that there's some lifestyle things that can help people to reduce the body from being an environment where cancer would grow. Are there any, like, if you had to give just a couple tips to people that just you think are most essential in them understanding whether they have cancer now or they just want to keep their body in a space that wouldn't be productive for cancer to exist, what would be some of your tips that you would say, you know, just to add this to your lifestyle would be healthy?
Well, I think one thing we have learned in integrative medicine and oncology is that the underlying process in cancer, like many other diseases and heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, the underlying abnormality or problem is really inflammation. And inflammation on a cellular level is affected and can happen due to a lot of different reasons within our lives. So, you know, we know that obesity and poor diet and lack of exercise, all of those things can contribute to an environment in which the body is stressed and doesn't function the way it should in a healthy state. And it triggers a whole series of hormonal and chemical shifts in our body that make it more permissive to cancer. So just making changes in terms of, you know, looking at what we're eating. Are we eating healthy organic food or are we eating a very heavily processed diet? And, you know, this is a problem, obviously, you know, nationally in terms of the foods that are available. So we need a real shift, even amongst our whole structure as to what foods we are feeding our children and feeding ourselves. And then the whole concept of exercise, how crucial it is, how exercise, really doing it can make a huge difference in terms of our health and well-being and making our immune system stronger. And, you know, just energy modalities, energy treatments. We know that so many illnesses really start on an energy level, a level that's actually within our auric field, not so much on our physical, but these illnesses many times start within an energy field imbalance, within a chakra imbalance that then leads to physical manifestations and symptoms. And realigning that energy can be very helpful. And that ties in with stress. And stress, many times we have so many stressors in our lives, can affect our auras and affect our, internal chakra system. So, you know, doing things that can alleviate stress within our environment, even if we can't eliminate stress completely, how the person responds to it and how they're able to deal with it is something that we can work on. And expanding the whole role of spirituality. We know that people that are religious or spiritual actually have so much better survival and better support system to get through an illness such as cancer. So fostering that in patients is something that I do emphasize. And then in terms of, you know, people always ask me about supplements, what can I do to help me? What are the good things to help my immune system? Well, even the basic things that we know of now is that, for example, the spice curcumin found in the root turmeric is extremely important and very helpful in terms of toning down a body's inflammation in the well state or in a cancer state. So I do suggest to people that they could start taking curcumin. It is even safe, you know, to take during chemotherapy. Eating a diet that is very plant and fruit-based, you know, vegetables and fruits, we know that they have helpful omega-3 fatty acids as opposed to the omega-6 fatty acids that are pro-inflammatory and found in meat products. So, I mean, there are so many things in our diet that we can do to assist. So those are the things I would say that, you know, people that are even not dealing with cancer can modify, you know, their weight, exercise, lifestyle, stress reduction, perhaps adding some energy treatments to their overall wellness and spirituality. And then perhaps doing these anti-inflammatory supplements and closely looking at their diet as to what they're eating.
That's wonderful, wonderful advice. Thank you for that. And then looking at that now, and I think this, again, applies to whether you have cancer or whether you want to live a life that is not conducive for cancer to grow, but we have this understanding in our world, you know, And I, one of the things when we were talking last week, and you said you had gone to the conference for integrative medicine, and that the practitioners there were all talking about having to shift from the concept of battling cancer to loving cancer. And I understand that this is such a powerful shift. How does that play itself out as an oncologist when you understand that piece?
Well, you know, I went to this conference in April, and I was sitting there listening to four different speakers there in different ways emphasize that mind shift, in that we really need to change the way we view cancer, because right now the view that we have is that cancer is something to be feared, cancer is something bad, it's almost, it's not a part of us, it's something that attacks us and we need to attack it back, and we see it as our enemy. And you know, the terms used are really coming from a military model of thinking, a military model in which there's war or battling cancer. And I mean, I see that in my daily practice, you know, where patients are petrified, especially around the time when they are first diagnosed. And to hear this change, this shift and this change in attitude about cancer at this conference, it completely resonated with me, and it resonated what we talked about at previous sessions that we've had. And I think that's crucial, that we need to shift from a focusing of fear to a focusing of love, and I don't want to say acceptance, but surrender, that there is a reason that cancer is serving a purpose right now, you know, amongst our world in general, but also within a certain individual. And I think if we shift our approach from attacking it, from seeing it as our enemy, to loving it and incorporating it and helping it to resonate with how healthy cells resonate, I think we can make a bigger change and a bigger shift in cancer. And, you know, I always think back to that spiritual saying where what you resist persists. And if we resist cancer, it's going to persist. And I think that's key, and that's why I loved your radio session on loving cancer, because, you know, most people would hear that and be shocked by it and be offended by it. But I think it's really an important thing to look at and to incorporate.
And how do you incorporate that when you're is it in a shift in your attention, because you're still, you know, a lot of people are, we're battling it with a radiology, we're battling it with a chemotherapy. And so is it the shift in the energy mindset? Have you literally shifted how you view these techniques when you present them to people? How is that playing itself out practically in the field?
Well, I think before, you know, I got involved in integrative medicine, when I had a very narrow focus in just seeing that, you know, chemotherapy or these drugs that we have available are really the only things that can help a person, you know, I didn't really focus in on the integrative aspects. Now, when I see the bigger picture, I mean, I am all for, you know, using modalities, radiation, chemotherapy, because we know these things, these modalities help, not in everybody, but we know that it can make a difference either in giving people more time or curing their disease process. But we also need to shift our focus that there are other things we can do to help those modalities, and that, you know, people also get to a point where they fear chemotherapy and radiation. And when you're in that kind of a mindset, I don't think the therapies can help you as well, or those are the patients that actually run into more problems with serious side effects because they're afraid of the therapies themselves. So if we embrace the therapies in a positive way, saying that we're going to do these therapies, but we are also going to help support the host's, you know, the person's terrain. We use this a lot in integrative oncology, the term terrain. Terrain is our body's healthy support structure that is holding, you know, the cancer within it. If we can build up and strengthen the terrain and make it a less hospitable environment for the cancer, then we can work towards either curing, or if we can't cure it, at least healing. All right, because there are many patients I see that that are, we can't necessarily cure them with these modalities, but we can heal them, and that means a more peaceful, whatever time they do have left, and a more peaceful passing, rather than a passing that is fraught with anger and fear and not being in the oneness. And that comes down to a quality of life issue.
That's beautiful and powerful. Have you seen a shift with your clients as you've shifted with your patients?
I have. I really have. I've seen patients where we can connect now on a spiritual basis, you know, and it's almost hard to describe, that we are actually communicating with each other on a non-medical, non-technical form of communication now. Not with all patients, but some, you know, there's a lot of patients out there that are also very spiritually awake and waiting for this. And I have seen big shifts in people. Like I said, not so much if changing from an incurable disease to a curable one, but changing the way they are dealing with it, and an acceptance and a love and a making the most of what time they have, rather than being in anger about the shortness of the time that they have. It's a shift in how they see whatever time they have left on this earth, which I didn't see as much before. So I'm seeing less of the anger in patients who are able to connect spiritually on that way.
And the fascinating thing is, if, according to Louise Hayes, cancer is anger turned inward. So when we start to, when we're fighting cancer with anger, we're actually increasing it.
That's absolutely right. You know, and we see that with other diseases too. Like, so for example, people that have heart disease, you know, a high percentage of them have anger management issues, have, you know, very holding things and holding their emotions in, and it comes out as a heart attack. Their heart literally is attacking itself.
I want to just thank you. I want to thank you for your journey and for having the guts, the inclination to find your truth and then share it with others, because the world is a better place with you and every other person that's gone in and found that and then brought it into their practice, whatever that is. And in this case, very directly into the oncology and hematology unit.
Well, I want to thank you, Sheila, because you were a big inspiration to my spiritual growth as I went on this journey. I also want to thank my practice, especially my CEO, Marian Rofaro, who has truly been a divine inspiration to me. And she has really welcomed this integrative approach with open arms and has helped my practice realize that this is an important way to go. And I think we're just at the very beginning of a really beautiful path. So I thank you.
And Mary Ann is actually a co-host on this network, on Co-Creative Radio Network as well, so people should check her out. But yes, you know, your practice is at the cutting edge, and your colleagues supporting you and helping you bring this in and staying open, you know, even perhaps when it's out of their comfort zone. I have to say, when I was back there years ago, and my physician, he used to say, "I don't really know if I believe in what you do, but it seems to be working for you, so keep doing it."
There you go.
And as long as you're staying out of the way, right? That's good.
But I think with time, they will see and they will believe.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And that's it. That's all we have to do is keep going. We don't need everyone to believe. We just have to keep doing it. And you know what? What does it hurt? You know, it's not hurting anyone. And just like he said, I don't know if I believe in it, but if it's working, do it. You know, so I say that to everyone, even, you know, in the patients, the clients, everyone, you know, just if it's not hurting you, then give it a try. It's, you know, because it's worth it. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Heidi, for being here. And
thank you, Sheila.
Any last things you'd like to tell the audience?
I would just say, you know, just take good care of yourselves. And I think, you know, like we always say, thoughts create reality. So thinking positive thoughts and being optimistic for the future is really where we need to be.
Beautiful. Thank you. And we will take you out again with Joanne Shenandoah. Have a beautiful week, everyone.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-